streamed through IHTS last year. Please raise your hands. Okay. Praise and thank God. Many of you have returned back, right? And I hope those of you who are here for the first time, and I hope you can come here for the next 3 more years, right? 3 more years. Yes? Oh, we are doing the seminar. Oh, yeah, actually, overcome depression is tomorrow. Yes. Someone is depressed back there. Oh, it's Paulina, my niece Paulina. Yeah, actually, we have 2 more classes for here. We have L8 and L9, and after that, we'll do depression. So right now, we're doing Sermon on the Mount. Thank you. Yes. So yeah, so praise and thank God. Hopefully that all of you can be turned back. Right? Can be turned back to continue, because this IHTS will prepare you for NYTS, and NYTS will prepare you for PMVP, and PMVP will prepare you to serve God for the rest of your life. So it's a good, it's good 3 seminars that can build a foundation how to serve God. Of course, studying the Word of God is everlasting. So it's never gonna, we're never gonna finish studying God's Word. But what we're trying to do is to build your relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And how, no matter what's going on in our lives, we always can rely on Him. And that is the purpose, right? That's purpose. Let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 5. So one of the questions that was in the box asked that when I said about homosexual tendency, if you have the thought of homosexual tendency, that is okay, it's not a sin, right? And then here we talk about if you look at a person to lust after his or her in his heart or her heart, then you commit sin. So do not think that when a person thinks about homosexual tendency, they think lustfully. That's not what we're not talking about. You understand? They talk about they thinking liking the same sex, just like you and I thinking liking an opposite sex, right? So when you think about a sister you love, or you want to date, or you want to go out with, is that sin? Is that sin? Of course not. But you do that, all you sin all the time, right? You understand? But you cannot lust. Lust is different. So don't think everyone who have homosexual tendency when they think about the same sex, they think lustfully. No. They also have, you know, they think about romance, right? Go out on a date, but with the same sex, you understand? So it's, in other words, they think what we think as opposite sex, but they think about the same sex. But if they put that, of course, if they lust in their hearts, and we think about, you know, lustful things, then it's a sin, just like you and I, the same thing too, when we think about the opposite sex. Do you guys understand that? For example, sometimes if you're an alcoholic, you also think about drinking, right? In your mind, oh, be nice, go to a bar, right? Be nice, go get, you know, a 12-pack, right? While I'm watching the Super Bowl, right? That's what you're thinking. It doesn't mean you are sinning. That is your desire. But how, of course, I don't know how you can lust against with alcohol. I don't think you can lust after it, right? But with human being, with relationship, yes, you can lust after it. And when you do that, then it becomes a sin. Okay, any question pertaining to that? So with anything in our lives, if we lust after it, even if you guys lust after animals, you understand? Some people have that weakness. They lust after animals. And it's very sickening, but if they think the animal is so cute, right? My niece, she wanted to get a dog, right? And the dog, the picture of the dog she sent me is so cute, right? Do I lust after it? Of course not, right? Okay. But I think the dog is cute. And, you know, we're thinking maybe should we get a dog or not, isn't that, right? But that's nothing have to do with your lustful desire. But some people, when they see picture of different animals, they do lust after it. And it's a sick, it's a sickness, right? Sickness. Just like some people, when they look at little kids, they lust after little kids. You and I look at little kids, they are so cute, right? But we don't lust after them. But there's people out there with this kind of sickness, right? Kind of sickness, that they lust after little kids. If they do this, it's a sin. But for you and I to think little kids are so cute, it's not a sin. They are cute, right? Right? Like yesterday during Sabbath, right? You know, Adeline and Byron have 3 kids. They have 3 kids. And we are old friends from Boston, right? So Margot and Megan, right, they're two little girls, right, they just keep holding my hands, drag me everywhere, right? And they're super cute, right? But that is it, right? They're little kids, you think they're cute, but those with sickness, they don't think like that, okay? So that's why you must realize that. And the same thing, you know, if some old people actually, they like little boys. Yeah, it's perversion, right? Perversion. And so that's why you also must be wise, right? And even though some old man stuff thing, oh, you're so cute, isn't that sometimes it's more than that. It's more than that. Okay? Yes, yes, sister. Yes. What do you think? How those people have this kind of sickness? What do you think? Okay, just talk about homosexuality, right? Let's talk about that. Okay, some people say what? You are born to be a homosexual. And some people say, no, it's not nurture, but nature that caused you to become gay. So which one is it? Which one is it? I'm sorry? The second one. So this means it's nature that caused you to be gay. And then if you talk to a gay person, like, you know, I was gay since I was 1 year old. When I was 2 years old, I started playing my parents' dolls, right? And that's why, you know, as a father, if my nephew want to play dolls, I got to kick him, wake him up a little bit, right? No, it's true, because girls play with dolls, and boys play with toys, right? Different toys, right? Like car toy, a fireman, stuff like that. That's very normal. It's very normal. So that's why if you see any little kids start to play with dolls, especially like bright colors, right, things like that, so they have that tendency, right? So how do we explain that? So what is it? Is it nature or nurture? Huh? Both, yes. It actually is both. You know, some of us, when we are born, we want to lie. We just love to lie. You know that? But of course, the environment also shaped too, right? Like my nephew. Really, my nephew. No one taught him how to lie. But he lies a lot. So we work on him for like the last 5 years, right? Working with him. Thank God he's much better now. But the thing is, he has the opportunity, he will lie again. But for me, since I was young, I hate to lie. I just don't like lie about anything. I'd rather tell the truth and get myself into trouble than lie. But that's how I was born like that. And the same thing with leadership, right? Some people are born to lead, and some people are born to follow. Like my nephew, he's a follower. And that's what I worry about him too, right? He follows, you know, yeah, that's why he broke his arm, right, one time, because he followed, right? Actually, he has a lot of problems because he followed. So, but sometimes being a follower is also very good. Follow of the word of God, right? You're a good follower, follow the word of God, follow Christ. But don't follow things that is bad for you, right? So many of us born with this kind of defect. And why you and I born with this kind of defect? Why? Why? Huh? Why? Why are we born with these kind of weaknesses? Can anyone answer? You get the right answer, you have free lunch. Lunch is free anyway. What thing? Yeah, Eileen, you raise your hand? Yes, because of sin. That's why the Bible said what? Sin reigned from Adam until now. And those who are born of a woman, how many of us are born a woman? I hope so. I think all of us born a woman, right? If you're born of a man, I think you can become millionaires. At least your dad or your parents become millionaire, right? You're born of a man. It doesn't happen, right? Of course, you're not born of a chimpanzee. That's for sure. You're born of a woman. If you're born a woman, you're born in sin. So that's why a lot of us, we have weaknesses. We have weaknesses. You know, when God said Adam and Eve was made in his own image and his own likeness, what does that exactly mean? Does Adam look like me? An Asian guy? What does it mean when God created Adam and he created his in his own image and likeness? What does that mean? Anyone? Hey, for those of you here last year, right, you should remember, right? 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 What does it mean to be created in God's image and likeness? Sister, you must know. You remember? Yeah, I think it's from last year. I think I mentioned last year. Okay, I'm sorry then. Okay, so image and likeness. What does it mean to have the image and likeness of God? Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. Yeah, you should remember this verse very easy, right? Because it's 4:24 in Ephesians. 24. And that you put on a new man, which was created according to God, in true righteousness and holiness. So when you and I are created in God's image and likeness, what does this mean? What does this mean? Yes, true righteousness and true holiness. So without sin. Without sin. But one thing that God gave us is free will. That's God's love. He gave us free will and we have to choose. Even now, you and I, even though we're in Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit, we're in a journey to the heavenly kingdom, but we still have free choice. So in other words, if you choose not to follow God's way, then you will go to hell. That's how it is. If you choose to follow God and His word, then we go to eternal life. It's all about choice. So that's why, yes, God is all powerful, but He cannot take our free will away. And the free will is to demonstrate how much He loves us. You know why people love America so much? Why? Huh? Yes. Freedom. You know, a sister just visited North Vietnam, and she was all, like, so sad. Why? Because the women there, they're being treated like dirt. You know, when she go on to the little boat thingy, and there's six people on the boat, and guess who's doing the rowing? It's the women. And the men just sit around all drinking coffee and talking, right? And the women do all the work. They carry the big basket with all the food selling and everything. They're the one cleaning the houses and that, right? They're being treated like dirt. In Africa, it's even worse. In Africa, a woman can only stay in the kitchen. That's it. When we eat women, the wife cannot come and eat with us. But America is not like this, right? Women can yell and scream at your husband, right? You can even beat up your husband, all this kind of stuff, right? But of course, that is the freedom that America gives. And that's why everybody loves to come to this country. The same thing, why? Because freedom of free will is so important to us as human beings. So that's why God gives us this free will, but choose wisely. The same thing in this country. Even though they give us free will, but there's also law that you and I must follow. As for women, I mean, there's so many women as CEOs, so many women, you know, make so much money. They are doctors, lawyers, engineers, all these things. You know, in other countries, don't think you can do all these things. Don't think you can do all these things. And that's why, you know, as women growing up in this country, you should praise and thank God. You have the same opportunity. Whatever you want to be, that you will be, according to God's will. So the freedom that show us so much love. And America is one of the newest countries in the whole world. But this country is the most powerful. And one of the richest countries of everything. Because it's free will and free choice. And people who come to this country actually, you know, they willingly do things. Look at all the people, you know, the founders of many things, right? It's all from America. Most of it. And just like Preacher Liang shared also, you know, charity works. Asian countries are the worst. Asian country, when they die, who they give the inheritance to? To their children, right? That's it. You know, I work for my children. This, that. There's nothing wrong with that, right? I mean, Bill Gates, he's worth, what, about $47 billion, right? You know how much he gave his kids? You know how much he gave his kids? Huh? I'm sorry? Actually, he gave them something. Yeah, actually, he gave them $100 million each. $100 million compared to $47 billion. You know how much that is? That's nothing. But he gave them that so they can start their own business, so they can start their own company and things like that, right? But they're not going to get the $47 billion that he has. Most would go to charity. This is America. That's why people really, their hearts are very different, because this country is found under God. Now with the, you know, legalized same-sex marriage, really God will bring judgment to this country. And that is for sure. So that's why you and I should be motivated, even draw ourselves closer to God. Why? Because the end is here. The end is here. Of course, for us, let's turn to the book of Romans. Book of Romans. I think it's very important for you guys to really have the right concept, the right mind. If people who are gay come to church, do we allow them to come to church? Huh? Yes. Thank God. Come on, right? But if they continue to practice homosexuality, they cannot. Right? Just like, you know, a person who continue to come here, they commit adultery, right? And this and that. They cannot be in church. Why? Because when you come to church, you must transform yourself. You must do your best to not live a life of sin anymore. Why? Because this is the heavenly kingdom. Right? And look at Romans chapter 1. Chapter 1. Verse 32. This is the conclusion of homosexuality, how God view it. Okay? Verse 32. Who know the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. So what does this mean? What does this mean? Sister, what do you think? What does it mean? Yes, you. Yes, exactly. So here, God said, those who practice such things will be condemned. Not only practice, but also you approve. So what does that mean for this country? This country, the government approve homosexuality. Of course, we're not talking about the people, we're talking about the sin. We love the people. But the sin they're committing, we cannot approve that. How can that be? So that's why, you know, the first state that allows same-sex marriage is Massachusetts, right? Massachusetts is very liberal. I think after that, I think it's California. Or 2-3 after that was California. I don't know who's the second one, but California too, right? So, but what are now 80 states, same-sex marriage. So this can be a very big deal for us as we move forward. Why? Because God's judgment will come upon this country. And if you and I approve it also, approve in a sense that it's okay to be homosexual, it's not okay. It's not okay to be a drunkard. It's not okay to be an adulterer. It's not okay. You and I must realize we cannot support this. Of course, we don't go around and, like I said before, hold signs and, you know, all homosexuals go to Hades and things like that, right? But if people ask us, is it okay, you know, for the same-sex marriage? You have to say no. If you say yes, this means you're supportive of it, then we also be in danger of judgment. It's very important. Okay? Nowadays, even churches have homosexual pastors, right? And child molesters and everything like that. So that's why our church, we really praise and thank God, right? And you are the future generation of our church. You must hold your integrity and hold on to the word of God. What is right, and what is wrong, and it's forever is like this. It will not change. It will not change. Okay? Okay, let's go back to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. So any question at all in chapter 5? Any question in chapter 5? You know, it's interesting, we have some church members who, you know, because they just passed the, you know, the legalized gay marriage, they put rainbow and stuff on their Facebook. You know, what's that mean? Huh? What's that mean? What's that? Yeah, they support it. Yeah, they support it. Yeah. And of course, yeah, it's sad, but we have members like that. Because they do not know, right? They do not know what is right and what is wrong. Not that we hate gay people, no, we love them too. Right? We love them too. But just the sin, right? Just the sin that they're committing, we must be the light, right? To let them see that is darkness. You cannot stay in darkness. But when you see some of our members put rainbow and stuff like that on their Facebook and supporting it, you feel very sad, right? Because, you know, we are lost, right? Yes? Yes. Actually, if they're already married, right, gay couple come to church who are married, and then they knew that was wrong, right? So they come to church, they change, and that's fine, right? Because actually, they're living in sin. So if they're living in sin, this means, you know, they can get rid of their sin and then be married to an opposite sex is fine. But can it be like that for, you know, a couple, opposite sex couple? Can it be like that? No, it cannot, right? When you marry, even before you come to church, you are bound together, you are wife and husband. So even though I know some members, they don't like their husband too much, and they wish that they can just come to church, you can divorce them, right? But you cannot. You got to be with your husband, even though your husband, you know. And because your husband is not a believer, of course, the sister comes to know Jesus Christ, she's baptized and that, but her husband is not a believer. And sometimes she wishes she can divorce him because she married him before she knew Christ, so her husband is not such a good guy, right? But you cannot do that. Yeah, you cannot do that. Okay. Yes? Okay. Transgender, right? Transgender. What about them? Transgender, this means they have what? That's why quite often, right, when you, transgender, they have to decide what they want to be like when they are young, right? When the baby is born, the parents get to decide, okay? Well, they have two genitals, right? Quite often, of course, they have two genitals or they feel, if they are a man, they feel like a woman, right? So, but they have to decide. The parents will have to decide for them. Which way do you want to go, right? Which way you want to go? And if they don't decide, and then on the end, they're very confused, right? Of course, what is the word for those who are born with two genitals? There's a word for, yeah. Counselors, you guys know the word? I know the word, but I can't forget. Yeah, effort. Yeah, something like that, yes? With two genitals, yes. 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 It's not common, but it happens. And then the parents have to choose, right? That physically they're born with two genitals. But some people are born with opposite thinking. For example, you are a woman, but you think like a man. You want to be a man. Then you're born like a man, but you're like a woman. So it's very confusing, right? And that is sin, right? That is sin. So that's why quite often it's very difficult, and thank God, you know, none of us are like this that I know of right now in this room, right? None of us, and it's thank God, right? Because if we're in that kind of situation, because I do know some brothers and sisters who are gay, and actually it's very difficult for them, right? Very difficult for them. They are married to the opposite sex and stuff, and they're happy, but their weakness is always come back, and it's very difficult for them. Okay, so in other words, the same thing with transgender, right? It just, you really have to cultivate that, you know, that boy or girl when they are young, right? They are young. Okay. If we don't cultivate them, this means, and then they are born, they be all confused, right? They are confused. Okay, any other questions? Okay, so no question from chapter 5 at all. Okay, good. Let's go to chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Verse 2. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Verse 3. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Verse 4. That your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. Of course, many of us are very familiar with this passage, that we do charitable deeds not to have glory, gain glory from men, but to receive glory from God. And this is very important. Because if you and I here, say, if we, you know, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them, otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So here, if you do charitable deeds in front of people, the same thing with prayer. When you and I pray, do we do because other people pray, or we do because we really want to do it for God? So that's why here for us, right, we don't force you to pray during lunch or dinner. But thank God many of you willingly pray during lunch, during dinner. This is much more effective than anything else. We can force you to pray. We can put on schedule, right? You must pray extra 30 minutes during lunchtime, during dinner time. Actually, it will not be effective. But rather, with your own free willing heart, you offer this sacrifice to God. And that's why when we do charitable deeds, the same thing too, when we do something good, it's not to be seen by men and not to receive glory from men. But this is the tendency that you and I usually do. When we do things, we want people to see that we have done it. If we do this, we do not receive reward from our Father. We do not receive reward from our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why many things that you and I do, we should do in secret. Like, do in secret. Here, it says what? If you do anything good, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Can someone explain what that means? Any brothers? If you do charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. What's that mean? What's that? Say, you do it very quietly. Why you have to do with the left hand and right hand? Can the right hand do anything without the left hand knowing it? Yes, sir.
It's an exaggeration to show just how secret it should be.
Okay, it's exaggeration. Okay, how secretly they should be. But actually, it's not an exaggeration, right? Because if you exaggerate something, this be a lie, right? Maybe you can use a different word, right? Right, instead of exaggerate. Because when you exaggerate something, this means it's a lie, right? But what does it mean, left hands and right hands? What's that mean? What does it mean, left hands and right hands? Yes? Maybe the right hand is God, left hand is man. So don't let the right hand, it should be the right hand is man, right? Because don't let the right hand knows. Yeah. Don't let the right hand knows, right? Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, maybe the right hand is people and the left hand is God. So when your left hand is doing something, don't let the right hand knows. Okay, that's also a good explanation. Yes? I'm sorry. Yes. Yeah, that's close. Actually, even the person is closest to you, even your own spouse, you understand? Left hand, right hand, you're in the same body. Actually, it's like your spouse. Even then, you do certain things, don't let them know. So the person who's closest to you, maybe, you know, you have good friends, right? You want to share things with them. But when you do good charitable deeds, you don't need to let them know. Why? Because if you let them know, they say, wow, you're doing such a wonderful job. And then what happened? No reward from God. No reward from God. So in other words, the closest thing to you, even your similar, right? Your left arm, your right arm are the closest things on your body. But you don't let them know. if the minute you let them know, your reward will not be, you know, received from our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a very good practice. And that's why quite often, right, when you and I even offer tithing, it's the best, right, when you offer tithe. And of course, usually the church doesn't post. You know, almost every other churches, when you offer money, they post on a bulletin board, right? They get the elite offering people, right? Maybe the gold, platinum kind of offering people, right? And just the regular sapphire kind of offering people, right? You think this is the right thing to do? No. That's why our church, look, the offering box, oh, it's back there, right? We don't have basket passing around, things like that, right? Because offering is between you and God. So that's why, you know, when I go to other churches, I know that people always look at what kind of bills they put in the basket, right? Because if you have only $20 bills, you cannot put a basket, oh, let me change, let me get change from the basket, right? You can't do that, right? So you can see some people only put a dollar, they just make it very, you know, secretly, they just put it, people who have a $20, they're like this, right? They're waiting, right? They're like this. Do you understand? I've been to many churches like that because I was a Greek Orthodox for many years, right? And also went to the Catholic Church. And that's what happened. Usually when you offer money, that's what you do. And actually, in the beginning of a ministry in Africa, you know, because they're very poor, so before they do offering, they would dance, right? They would play the drum, they would dance, this and that, right? And then, of course, their offering would be on top, so everybody would see them, right? So when they do, they dance, and they get all excited, and then they put one penny into offering box. That's how much they can afford. But the thing is, we told them, no, you should not do that anymore, right? It's between you and God, right? And of course, those who give 5 cents, they dance even harder, right? Play the drum even louder. But it should not be like this. For us, whatever you want to give, and it's the best way. If you have great faith, you also give cash, right? No one know, right? No one know. But of course, for tax purposes, and also for, you know, I guess for your own, I guess, bookkeeping, the give check is fine too. But it's according to your faith. I remember one time this brother, he sold a house. I don't know how much he makes, but he makes a lot. Maybe like, he had to offer like 20,000, right? 20,000. But everybody knew, if he's going to offer the 20,000, that is from their brother. But instead, he break the money into small portion. So every Sabbath, he just gave a little, right? Maybe 2,000, right? Then maybe a lot of people feel like, wow, that brother, even though he make a lot of money selling his house, but he didn't give any tithes, right? But people do not know. Because what happened, when the financial officer, of course, usually the financial officer only, you know how much people are offering, right? But the month, when the month comes, then you have to read the financial report, right? So this month we received $30,000 offering. They say, oh, that brother, he must offer $20,000, right? Or something like that, or $30,000 to church. Then your reward is gone. Do you understand? So you have to be smart, right? But of course, sometimes we do want that man to know, oh, look, no, I offer the money to God, right? I sold the house, I make this money, I'm faithful. I offer to God, so everybody knows. So there's no reward. So that's why the brother is so clever, right? So maybe all the people feel like, oh, that brother, oh, he didn't give tithe. Whatever he make, right, he didn't give to God. But actually he did, and received glory from God, right? Ain't that much better? Yes, yes. Yes. What's that? Oh, no, the yes. Actually, when people know, and you yourself don't want people to know, and they just know, it's fine. You understand? It's different. When you do it, you want people to know, right? You offer the 20,000 because you want people to know that you offer 20,000. That's what God is talking about. If you do it, you know, as best you can, if you offer to the church, of course, the financial figure going to know who offered, right? Especially you buy a check. But you don't want anybody else to know. But the financial fear, they have to know. They have to write and put in a book, right? So that's fine. God is talking about your mentality. Your mentality. When you offer something, don't blow a trumpet and say, you know, you're born and it's like, oh, yeah, I'm doing this. I'm doing this. Everybody look at me. I'm going to offer this money. Right? That's what God is talking about. But instead, be secretive. Be secretive. Do our best. Right? Do our best. Especially some of you will make $500,000 a year. You will. Right? $500,000 a year. We have brothers and sisters in our church. They make $500,000 a year and $1 million a year. Then when they offer, that's a lot of money, right? That's a lot of money. But you know what? Praise and thank God that, you know, they do very secretly and nobody knows if they offer or not. You have to be wise and, you know, to gain a reward from heaven. And you know what? Here, look at verse 4. That your charitable deed may be in secret and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. What does this mean? How does God reward us openly? How? How? You know, this one brother, he loves to offer money to church. Of course, you know, he does it very secretively, but quite often he does it because people know, like, oh, when the church needs 80,000, all of a sudden we got 80,000, right? But of course, and then later on, of course, not everybody knows, but the people who, you know, council members, they know. And one time, people were talking to him, why do you love to offer so much? Like anything that you need, he offers. He loves to offer so much. You know what he answered? You know what he said? Guess what he said? Why he loved to offer so much? What do you guys think? You know, in the whole Bible, you cannot test God, right? Right? You cannot test God. There's only one reason you can test God, and what is that? You guys don't know this. There's one reason you can test God. You guys have to know this. I guess you guys don't know this. Guess. You cannot test God for any reason at all except for one. Yes, brother. Yes, where does it say that? He doesn't know where it is. Yes, Malachi. Malachi tell you, know, God said what? Test me, right? With your offering. And he will open the door of heaven. So in other words, you know, if you not have the faith to offer, the more money we offer, the more money will God will give us. And this is the reality. So this brother, he said the reason why he loved to offer, because every time he offered, God gave him so much more. So he's never afraid to offer. But you have to offer with your free, willing heart. I remember one time I was in Boston, and back then, Boston Prayer House, we needed 30 chairs. And the other time, I just, you know, and my wife and I, we don't have too much money. And then we bought 30 chairs, $10 a piece. You know, there's one of those folded chairs, right? And it was $300. So during that time, we just also bought a house. And we had to put the skylight, you know, in our house. And what is it? The contractor said it's $1,500 to put this, you know, skylight on my roof. They were like, okay. So the night before, I also call the contractor. I say, okay, we still have the deal, right? You're going to come in and put the windows in. It's $1,500. He said, yes. So he came the next day. After he finished putting everything in, he said, $1,200. I'm like, didn't we agree last night that you would charge $1,500? He's like, yeah, last night I want to charge $1,500, but for some reason, this morning I just want to charge you $1,200. You ever see a contractor, hear a contractor say such things? Never. When you say $1,500, they will say $1,800, right? $2,000. And then I realized that $300 God paid me back for my chairs. You understand? It cannot be the exact number. It's the exact number, $300, for the chairs. That's how awesome God is. Anything that we do. And for example, when I first came to Christ, even though we did not have much money and stuff like that, so all the events we went to, right? My wife and I went to NYTS, right? So we know, you guys know we are famous going on a honeymoon, right? To NYTS, right? You guys know that, right? Yeah, so our honeymoon, after we marry, we go to NYTS. That's for our honeymoon, right? was the best. I still owe my wife honeymoon, actually. I haven't taken her anywhere yet. But maybe one day. One day, yeah. So, what we're talking about? Okay, yeah. So we go to like different spiritual convocations. We would rent like 12 people's van and stuff like that. Many things, right? Even though we didn't ever ask the church to prepay anything. But amazingly, before I quit my job and to come to TTP, at that time there's a special project. In my company, we have about 180 people in the company. No one else can do this project except for me. And this project, you know, pay about $10,000 extra for my salary. And I work this, I get to go to Hawaii during that time on a trip, stay in a fancy hotel, eat fancy food, and get paid $10,000. And then, of course, when I get that when I get paid the $10,000, then I, after taxes and after tithes, then I calculate. Then I calculate all the time, the money that I spent to all the different seminar, it came to be like $6,700. And that's how much I get left, and that's how much God paid me back. It's really amazing, right? So that's why for us, when it comes to offering and doing charitable deeds, don't be afraid to do it. Especially for those of us, but we really, in our church, praise and thank God, we do have a lot of members with this kind of heart. Even though they are very rich and stuff like that, but they offer the best to God all the time. Whatever they can, they, of course, but there's also a lot of members who do not offer tithes. If all the members in the United States offer tithes, the GA would be, like the Catholic Church, very rich, right? Because some members who make a million, right now the budget of GA, about 2-point-something million a year, right? That's the budget. But can you imagine if all, just in California alone, actually just in Southern California, if all the brothers and sisters offer their tithe, you have enough money for the GA budget. Because a lot of members make a lot of money in Southern California. But of course, people do not, right? People do not. But if you and I do it, when we, you know, do charitable deeds, it's not only to do to others, but also for our Lord Jesus Christ. When you and I give tithes, we must give it with faith that God, I mean, tithe, is it, tithing, is it for God? Huh? God say, you know, yeah, you know, give me the 10% or whatever you make and stuff like that, right? But actually, in reality, it's not even for God, it's for us, right? It's for the church. It's for us to use, to eat lunch, to have electricity, right? To have this building, to pay for the AC, right? It's nothing even have to do with God, but God claimed that it's his, right? He's very wonderful, even though it really has nothing to do with him, right? To do with him. And for us, we must have that kind of faith to always give, to always give. And when we give, don't blow a trumpet. When we give, don't brag about it. But actually, in our church, I think this is one of the strongest points that we have. It's giving without letting anybody know. It's giving with a free, willing heart. Because as a pastor, I know many brothers and sisters. They are very, even though Asian, quite often Asian are very cheap. Really, Asian, we are cheap, right? I mean, think about this. Sometimes, I mean, I know a friend, he's Asian. He would drive like 20 miles to get a gas that's 10 cents cheaper from a gallon. But he doesn't calculate you drive 20 miles, you know? Really, and all Asian people, when you go to the store, right, you can see all Asian stores, they all have signs, right? Don't eat, don't pick, you know, just take whatever is on is for sale there, right? Why? Because people would take, Asian people, right, they would take the eggs, dozen of eggs, they're trying to find the biggest one and put in one carton, right? Yeah, guys ever see that? Yes, yes. Okay, they would put the sign, you cannot do that, right? The same thing if they buy cherries. You know cherries, how small they are, right? If they buy 2 pounds, they pick the biggest one there, right? And sometimes they sit there and take all the stems out because they weigh too much. I see many things, but thank God. Being Asian. But thank God in our church, God really moved our brothers and sisters' heart really to be very generous and offering tithe. So praise and thank God. Our time is up. Let's bow ahead and place hands.